Testing 1, 2. Is Satan. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and strange as it seems, I wasn't indulging in covetous dreams, but reading my Bible, I searched for a clue, why Christians take part in this holiday too. I plainly could see that it carried his name, but the spirit behind it just wasn't the same. The song spoke of wise men, of virgin and child, of shepherds of God, and all men reconciled. But nothing was said of the blood and the cross, of repentance and faith, and of counting the cost. They sang of the babe, his miraculous birth, but not of the day when he'll judge the whole earth. My Bible said nothing of Santa or toys, of Frosty the Snowman and small drummer boys. A reference to Rudolph not once did I see, but it seems Jeremiah did mention the tree. I sat and I pondered this curious matter, when out on the roof there arose such a clatter, that I knew in a moment he soon would be here, so I prayed in the spirit and stood without fear. He slipped down the chimney, quick as a flash, and stepped from the fireplace all covered with ash. There stood Saint Nick with his bag and his beard. He looked at the Bible I held and he sneered. Another fanatical Christian I see, no stockings, no holly, no pictures of me. I asked him if Jesus was God in the flesh. He said that was something he couldn't confess. He said, I am Santa, I come from afar. I stood in the truth, the devil you are. That suit and that beard doesn't fool me one bit. Your jolly deception is straight from the pit. Beneath all your ho-ho-hos, Lucifer lurks, with your all-seeing eyes and your gospel of works. Like a thief in the night, you impersonate Christ, returning to judge the naughty and nice. So-called Christmas pagan, he said. That's okay, 'cause that's what my sons at the watchtower say. You'll look like a pagan, or like a deceiver, but none will suspect you to be a believer. I said, I don't care what your servants will say. My loyalty lies with the Ancient of Days. No matter how many abuses are hurled, my Bible says be not conformed to this world. You have no power and no part of me, so I stand on God's word and command you to flee. He squealed like a pig that was stuck with a knife. He ran to the chimney and climbed for his life, and I heard him exclaim as he drove out of sight, Merry Xmas to all, and a long, dark night.
You've got even...
Ah, that's funny, isn't it? I like that one. That's a good one. Anyway, good afternoon to everyone out there in YouTube land. And no, I'm not talking about Santa today, which I'm trying to find some things. I may talk about him this week, maybe Wednesday. I'm not sure yet. But I look what came in. Look. Let's see. Hang on. Oh, man, this thing. There we go. Look at that. Look what came in. Oh, wait, you can't see it. Hold on. Just a little box. Here we go.
Santa.
Look at that. The NASA shirt. Live with the NASA shirt. So, here we go. NASA shirt time. Anyway, so, yeah. It's great, isn't it? So, for all you flat earthers out there, I have the NASA shirt. Oh, that's funny. Anyway. It is for me, and wait until I actually do a Flat Earth broadcast, and then watch their Flat Earths explode. Anyway, I can already hear it now. I don't know why this is so dim. This light looks dim to me. I don't know what's up with that, but it looks really dim over here. Not sure what's going on with that, but... But anyway, it looks pretty dim. I was gonna get a Keep America Great shirt and wear that. I think the blinds are closed all the way, but I'll check to make sure. There we go. Okay, whoa. Look at that. Spun that thing all the way around. That should be it. Now we should be okay. Things moving on me. I didn't get a NASA hat yet. I don't have a NASA hat yet. I don't have NASA socks. I don't have a NASA jacket yet. So anyway, maybe that helped a little bit with getting that going. Hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving, a good time. And you had a good time with your family, and hopefully you had a blessed time at church as well. Thomas Havis, hope you're doing well there in Michigan, in Detroit. Maybe it's the NASA shirt that makes it look darker. After all, we do know that NASA is the head of the mysteries. Anyway. So, good. I'm glad you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I'm glad you had a good time with family and with friends. And hopefully you got to go to church, some of you, and were able to have a good church to go to. I'm going to talk about today, after we get started here, this evangelical transgender transformation. I've got a lot of articles to look at here today that we're going to be looking at that it's showing the pattern of things to come, and it's all been foretold about, and it's here. And there is no hiding from it. There is no getting away from it. There's going to have to be, from the people of God, a standing up against this spirit that is here among us in evangelical circles. Oh, how was my hunting trip? Well, I saw three at the end of the night, or actually 3 hours before the end of the night, but they were too close, and by the time I got in position, I couldn't get them. So hope I've got 2 weeks to go here, so we'll see what happens. But I was just too close to to them to be able to get in position quick enough before they saw me. They actually came like right out of nowhere, like right up. So it was crazy. But anyway, we'll see. Oh, that's terrible. I'm sorry to hear that. Your brother-in-law's mother died. That's terrible. All right. 56 people on, 10 likes. Let's try to get kick up that, 58 people. Let's kick up those likes here on here and the thumbs up. Thumbs up. The broadcast here. Let's get it sent out to everybody. There are white-tailed deer where I went hunting. All right. We are going to talk about a number of crazy things today that are going on in the evangelical world this, which I say is the evangelical transformation, transgender transformation that is happening right before our eyes. It's happening right before our eyes. And then we're going to see some different things here that are coming our way. In the evangelical world, in the Christian world here, I should say, in what is predominantly called Christian world, from a Christian worldview, the views are being mingled now. They're being changed. What's happening is confusion. Confusion is happening. That's what's going on today. Confusion. And, yep, Tracy, muzzleloader. That's what it is. Freezing cold muzzleloader season. All right, but there's supposed to be some warm weather later on this week, so I might go out a little bit when it gets a little warmer. We'll see what happens. Anyway, I want to show you this first video here, and this is going to kind of get us started. This will get us started in kind of in what's going on. It's going to give you the right temperature of what's happening today. So you can understand fully what's going on here, what's being infused, what's changing right before our eyes. It's being transformed. So listen to this.
David, who says, I work with two people who have decided that they are females. I know what the Bible says about homosexuality, but is it wrong to refer to them as female since they've had their gender status changed in the eyes of the law? Why would you have to refer to them as females
by name? I don't understand all that, but I think there are men who are in a woman's body.
Okay, whoa, wait a minute there, Pat Looney Tunes Robertson. What in the world are you talking about? What in the world is he talking about? I think there are men trapped in women's bodies. No, there really are not. Those are called devils. Those are called possessed people. Or deeply troubled and confused by the devil people.
I understand all that, but I think there are men who are in a woman's body. Mm-hmm. It's very rare, but it's true. Or women.
It's very rare, but it's true. I think there are men in women's I mean, what planet do you come from besides the pit of hell? Okay, you told me what you think, but what does God's word say? Do you understand this? What does God's word say?
Men that are in men's bodies, and they want a sex change, and that is a very permanent thing. Believe me, when you have certain body parts amputated, and you have shot up with various kinds of hormones, it's a radical procedure. I don't think there's any sin associated with that. I don't condemn.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What? He said, I don't think there's any sin associated with that. Well, if God made them male and female, that's how he made them. And if you try to change that or you try to corrupt that, then what have you done? You have sinned against God. Not to mention the perversion that comes with it.
I'm somebody for doing that. But somebody who just says, well, I'm really a woman, I question the validity of that statement. But they say they're counted as female. You don't count somebody as female unless they really are, or male unless they really are.
In this instance, so this is a person who works with two people, so he doesn't really know their intentions or know their personal medical scenario.
It's not for you to decide or to judge. All right.
Whoa, wait a minute. What do you mean it's not for you to decide? Well, he doesn't really know them. I don't have to know them. Look, I'm going to make this real simple. If God gave you a penis, then you're a man. If God gave you a vagina, then you're a woman. That may be raw. I don't know if it is too. I don't think it is. They're Bible. They're parts that God gave everyone. That's what they have. That's the anatomy that God gave them. And that's the way that it is. He, in the beginning, he made them male and female. I don't remember him saying when the woman goes to the temple and there's an imperfection in her stones that this could, no, because she doesn't have stones. She's not a man. It's just absolutely ridiculous to even go to this extreme to try to explain that like that. It's just absolute insanity. It's where we are today in this world. But this is coming from supposed Christians. Now, we understand that they're all connected to the Knights of Malta, the Masons, the Jesuits. I get it. But the point you have to understand is they're all religious. See him in a different light now. I've always seen him to be a stinking, rotten, wicked, devilish heretic that was only after money and bat crazy at that. I don't know how anybody has been fooled by this guy. If you watch 5 minutes of this guy, you know he's stinking Loon Tunes. Anyway, sorry, not trying to be a jerk, but it's just there's just nothing about this guy that is fundamental Christianity. Absolutely nothing. I mean, it's a facade. It's fake. Which is very simple. Very simple. Somebody asked a question, can sodomites and perverts be forgiven or whatever, or something like that? Yes, any sin can be forgiven. Okay? That's not the point. The point is that God is able to wipe away all sins. The point is that most people, when they get to a point, they don't want it. They don't care if they have it, the forgiveness. So here's the thing. This is first off, okay? Here's a man that is saying to you, coming under the guise of fundamental Christianity, who is saying to you here that he, I don't think it's a sin. There are men who are in a woman's body. Why didn't God ever say that? Why didn't the Lord ever say that? How come God's never directed us like that? How come God speaks in clear context? Male, in the beginning, he made them male and female, right? Let's see here. Seven times. Do you see that? Seven times male and female. God's perfection. Seven times male and female. That's the way that God intended it to be. That's the way that God ordered it. Says 2013 is when it came about. Doesn't matter when it was, it's still real. Still part of what's going on. Still part of the culture, so to speak. But let me give you a more recent one. Here we go. Southern Baptist president. Southern Baptist president says he prefers to call transgender people by their chosen pronouns. Calling it pronoun hospitality. Southern Baptist Convention President J.D. Greer, whom I have affectionately nicknamed J.D. Queer, I think that dude is gayer than AIDS. I think that dude is a fruit booty. That's exactly what I think that guy is. And you may be offended by my language of fruit booty, but I think that he is a fruit booty. Calling it pronoun hospitality, Southern Baptist Convention President J.D. Greer revealed on an Ask Me Anything episode of his podcast that he prefers to call transgender people by their preferred pronouns. Greer said that while there is room for disagreement, and Christians should disagree charitably, he sees it as a hospitable courtesy to refer to transgender people by their chosen pronouns, despite knowing that their sex does not match their descriptors. Well, let me help you out with something. I'm not feeding into your delusion. Look, you don't feed into people's delusions. You tell them the truth. You don't feed into their delusions. You tell them what God's word says. You tell them reality. You don't feed into their delusion. Am I right? Or is this whole world going back crazy and the evangelical transformation is taking place right in front of our eyes? We are seeing it right before us, an evangelical transformation, a transgender transformation. There's a spectrum of generosity of spirit versus telling the truth, Greer wrote in podcast description. I tend towards generosity of spirit. Now, what do you think about that? You think that's a generosity of spirit? Do you think that's what that is? Or do you think it's just an absolute compromise? Because to me, it's just an absolute compromise. That's what it really is. It's simply just a way to pander to these people. And I'm going to tell you why they're pandering to them. The Southern Baptist Convention has been taken over by these woke people. That's what's going on. They've been taken over by these people that are woke. They got woke up by Satan. It's not a regeneration. They got woke by Satan. Satan woke them up. That's what happened. That's what's really going on with all of this. You know, here's another one. Let me just show you another one. Something that just makes you sick in your gizzard right here. Just sicker than a dog. Gay Christian presidential candidate says gay Christian. What are they doing? They are transforming. They are transforming. Democrat presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg, who identified as Episcopalian, asserted there are so many things in Scripture that are inconsistent internally, and you've got to decide what sense to make of it. Buttigieg has been asked what he feels about the contention that so-called progressive Christians are disregarding the Bible because of their liberal views on issues such as abortion and homosexuality. He himself is homosexual and believes that women should have the right to choose abortion. Well, basically what you're telling me is, Booty Judge, is that you hate God's word, you will not stand on the authority of it, you are in direct rebellion to God, and you hate babies too at the same time, and you'd rather see them dead. You see? Isn't that what he's doing? That's what he's doing. And that's where it's leading. That's where it's going. The South Bend, Indiana mayor pointed to the penal law under Old Testament claiming that it required a man to personally kill his sister if she was unfaithful to her husband. Buttigieg says the punishment found its way into the Bible because it was considered a just criminal statute at the time. That is just stupid. It's not even biblically accurate. Not at all. Hey, Billy, you're about ready to get taken off of here. We don't really care what you have to say. You're trying to tell us that it's okay, that it's absolutely okay for us to deny what the Bible says about homosexuality. So, you can just go bye-bye. We don't deal with people like that. We don't even waste our time with that. We've gotten past that messed up, goofball, half-baked theology from a Cracker Jack box that you call loving people. That's not loving people. I'm showing you exactly what is going on in this world today, that's exactly what's happening. And I'm going to continue to do that, and I'm going to continue to watch people get very angry about it. You know why they're getting angry about it? You know why they're getting angry about it? Because they don't want people telling the truth about this garbage. That's why they're angry about it. Well, listen to me. Here we have this article from this Democratic candidate who basically just calls himself a gay Christian. And what is he doing? He's transforming what Christianity is right before the eyes of so many people. That's what he's doing. It's the transformation. That's what it is. That's what it is. It's a transformation that is taking place right before your eyes. They are transforming. Listen to what he says. And to me, that's not much so much cherry picking as being serious, because of course there are so many things in scripture that are inconsistent. Jesus speaks so often in hyperbole and parable and mysterious code that in my experience, there's simply no way that a literal understanding of scripture can fit in the Bible that I find in my hands. Well, that's because you're a lost, wicked reprobate, sodomite, that loves your sin and is claiming to be a Christian. But really what you are is a Simon the Sorcerer. You're a liar. He said there's so many parts of the Bible that associate the beginning of life with breath that there's plenty of scriptural basis to reach different conclusions about that. And abortion, he said, that it shouldn't be the government's job. However, to decide where life begins, no matter one's view. Republicans hold everybody in line with one piece of doctrine about abortion, which is obviously a tough issue for a lot of people to think through morally. Then again, there's a lot of parts of the Bible that talk about how life begins with breath. So even that is something that we can interpret differently. Well, that's Peter Ruckman's argument. Right? That's Peter Ruckman's argument. I'm going to post this on my Facebook page for the Ruckmanites. That's what I'm going to do right now. How about that? I'm going to post it right on my Facebook page right now. Here we go. Let's move this over here. Let me move this over here. Well, this ought to make some friends and influence some people. After all, they're using the same argument that Ruckman uses, aren't they? They're using the same argument, aren't they, that Ruckman uses? There we go. That'll make a lot of friends. Okay, let's go back to what we were doing here. An evangelical pastor who is also Buttigieg's brother-in-law has repeatedly spoken out against the Democrat candidate's views on the Bible and morality. Pete, I would really like to know one verse that supports the killing of God's greatest creation. It's outlandish to say the Bible, God's word, supports the killing of babies at any stage of life. He's right. Because God's word doesn't give anybody the right to kill babies like that, right? But see, they take that. Don't they? They take that, don't they? All right. Let's see here. So we have a presidential candidate that's going to call himself a Christian, right? And he's transforming right before. There's a spirit. Listen, here's what you have to understand. Again, we have to have it drilled in our heads to understand, right? God deals in simplicity. God deals in simplicity. In the beginning, he made them male and female. Look what it says here. Seven times that's in the scriptures. That number means something. Now, the greatest challenge that you'll find in understanding these times that we live in is this, that you will understand that there shall arise false Christs, that they are religious people. They are religious people. They have a spirit about them. And they will say the names like Jesus. And they will say the other names like that. They will talk like that. They'll do that. What does it say here in verse number 20? Let's go here. Let's see. Here we go, 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Man, I'm going to tell you something. I've had people right next to me preaching the Bible. I've had them do all those things. I've seen them preach the Bible. I've seen them go out on the streets and preach. I've went up and down the roads with them. I've been around with them, and I've watched them turn into be the biggest devils in private that you've ever seen in your life. I've seen them. I know what they are. I've watched it. I know what they do. And I'm telling you, God showed me some hard lessons, my friends, some very hard lessons on the difference between false and real, counterfeit Christians and phony ones. I'm not talking about people that just didn't know they were lost or something like that. I'm talking about counterfeit, deceived, counterfeit. They know what they're doing. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and show great signs and wonders to seduce it or possibly even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. All things. New report says half of pastors in America are watching pornography. Well, that may be true. I don't know. I would say half the pastors in America probably don't know the gospel. Because half the pastors in America are Catholic and baby baptizers that don't know the gospel. So I would say half of them are probably lost. So that part would probably be true. There is a spirit of transformation that takes place. What are we seeing right now? Well, we're seeing it, aren't we? Aren't we seeing the wholesale transformation that is taking place today? These people come in and they say they're Christians. And they're able to come in and do this. And they're religious people. Now, the Bible talks about, and I've shared these verses with you before, but I want to remind you of them. That word transformed is three times in the Bible. Here, it says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And therefore it is no great things if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." I say again, let no man think me a fool. So the Bible says that It says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. These people will transform themselves just like Judas did. But these men are crept in. They're creeps. I call them creeps. See, I think it's the word crept. For there are certain men crept in unawares. They are crept in unawares. No one was aware of what they were doing. They are crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. There were people that came out with them, but they were not of them. And we hear about that. In 1 John chapter 2, verse number 19. Look what it says here. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us. But this doesn't say that they lost their salvation. I hope you're listening to me here. It doesn't say that. It says they went out from us. But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So these people, they go out, they come in, they creep in, and they're going to go out eventually from us because they were not of us. They are manifesting who they really are and what they really hold to. Like this guy. First of all, how many transgenders do you hang around? Does anybody wonder about that? You have an ongoing experience with transgenders? Because that seems kind of odd to me. It seems kind of odd to me that you would have that much time with that much experience around transgender people. All right, so you have the gay or homosexual Christian, in parentheses, candidate. And by the way, he just visited a Black Baptist church over the weekend. And was accepted there. Well, I'm assuming he was accepted there. I don't know for sure if he was or he wasn't. It's So you see all these things that are going on. All of these things that are going on right before our eyes. And no one in these mainstream groups are really fighting any of those things. Right? So, look at this. Look at how the insanity continues to get even deeper. Transgender folks accusing gays of transphobic genital preference. Look at this guy. What is this? This is part of the transformation. What is he doing? Grudem helped to, let's see what he's doing here. Me Too and the Church Too movement. Grudem helped to form the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood and currently serves on the board of directors with woke functional egalitarians. Okay, so what is he saying? Like most, Grudem is a reed shaken in the wind. Grudem has been heretofore steadfast in his position that divorce is only permitted biblically for two reasons. Now culture has changed Grudem's position. He's advocating the exception of physical and emotional abuse. You know, he can go on and on and on about the issues of grounds of divorce. I believe that the Bible's very clear about divorce and remarriage. But I think today, a lot of divorce and remarriage, what is it a part of? What's going on with divorce and remarriage today is people are getting married flippantly and they're getting divorced flippantly. And that's really the problem. That's really the major problem with it. But it's a transformation. Right? That's what it is. That's what it is. Now, next one. By the way, you have most of these people that just aren't getting married. They're not even getting married. They're going to these evangelical churches and they're not even marrying. Okay. Report of trans teens Frankenstein hack job should be required reading before surgery. Now you listen to this. And then we're going to talk about kind of this emotional roller coaster of things that people go through. Because I think you need to understand that the reality of most of this, the reality of most of this transgender issues are deep, traumatic psychological experiences for the most part that people have. That's what they are. And people, they don't know how to deal with that. So what happens is they do things that they shouldn't do, okay? They do things that they shouldn't do, right? And they go to a circle of people that totally mess them up. Demonic people, in my opinion. Before any gender reassignment surgery, there should be voices other than doctors advising the patient on whether to go ahead with the life-altering procedure. One transgender teenager's story would make the perfect required reading to drive home the reality of the surgery. The story of a 19-year-old named Nathaniel comes from a letter sent to Walt Heyer, a former transgender person who now writes extensively on the topic of transitioning and detransitioning, including issuing a warning to Caitlyn Jenner. Nathaniel's brush with gender reassignment surgery is as grotesque as it is haunting. It could happen to any teen with enough perverse support. According to an article Heyer wrote in the Daily Signal, Nathaniel said he was bullied as a young child for playing girl games. Well, first of all, somebody should have, like, manned up and took that kid under their wing and taught him to be a young man. Children, when they're younger, they don't have a clue all the time of what they're supposed to be. If they don't have the traditional father-mother roles, they really get messed up in the brains. It really does mess them up. It really does mess with their minds. Convinced that he had finally discovered what was missing. Well, look what he said. He got it. Now, listen, I want you to follow the line of thinking, because this is what messes people up. So Nathaniel is confused. Well, God is not the author of confusion, because God made them male and female. So Satan comes in with his devils and with the spirits and confuses these people, these young people. They're absolutely confused at this point. So what does he turn to? Eventually, Nathaniel would discover pornography and learn about transgenderism. So what corrupted his mind? Pornography. He got into pornography. He got left to himself. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So he's not raised with the traditional father, the traditional mother, the traditional things that he needs there that impact a child's life, how God intended the family to be. So he's turned over to pornography. That's what happens to him. He's turned over to pornography, and then he learns about transgenderism. Look, kids have a lot of confusing thoughts when they're young. Children have a lot of confusing thoughts. When they're going through puberty, when they're going through different things of life, they see different things. They have different things come out at them. They're seeing things in the news. Their hormones are kicking in. They're having all these things that are going on. That has always been normal. Now, the amount of sexual promiscuity and fornication and advertisement of sin out there today makes things a lot worse. But nevertheless, it has always gone on in young people's lives. That's why you protect your children. You keep them away from things that are going to harm them. You give them instructions. And you keep them from evil people. The book of Proverbs deals with this, with these topics. Under the quote of my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without a cause. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear into wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear. We are to instruct our children. We are to teach them. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished by it with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? My cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth thee to err, causeth to err from the words of knowledge. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice. Look over and over again, what do we have? Instructions. What, my son, what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. That's getting into alcohol right there, amen. Then he tells him to look, a son, to look for a virtuous woman, she tells him, for her price is far above rubies. And to stay away from the evil man. Right? Deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. So the Bible warns us to stay away from these people. But what? This young man was left onto his own. Convinced that he had finally discovered what was missing in his life, the teen told his mother after much deliberation that he thought he was a transgender. Instead of helping him through a confusing episode, however, she took him to an informed consent clinic. Nathaniel was 15 years old at the time. So you have a confused young man that it doesn't appear there's a father any way around to teach him how to be a man. So therefore, he must be a transgender. He must be something else. And that's what the problem is. Look what it says here. After the visit started, the young man began to lose interest in the things that once held his attention. Things would eventually get much worse. Why? Depression hit and he didn't know how to deal with it. He was becoming depressed. Listen, a lot of this stuff is psychological in that sense. A lot of it is the mind. A lot of it is traumatic experiences on the mind. A trauma based on the mind. That's what a lot of this is. Look what happened. He's withdrawing from his life and he's turning into... Listen, one symptom of depression is that you start to lose interest in things that you once loved. Now listen to me. I'm trying to help you with something. I don't get distracted by all the comments over here. You that are on chat. I know there's only... I don't know how many are on chat, but there's 90 people on here. Listen to me. Don't misunderstand the depth of how our minds are affected by traumatic experiences and things like that. Because those experiences will cause a tailspin in the mind. You'll lose your luster for normal things. And I'm telling you, it is the grace of God for a Christian that gets depression that he stays faithful to the Lord. It is God's grace that keeps him faithful. It is God's grace that keeps him faithful. Now, look what he says here. He says, I surrounded myself in an echo chamber that supported and validated my poor decisions because others were also unfortunately stuck in that pit too. So listen to me. So his mother and everybody around him is telling him that the God of the Bible made him wrong. He's really a woman. That's really what he is, and that you ought to do this. You ought to be this. And then what's happening is that They are not helping this young man. What they are doing is they are feeding into his wrong thinking. Look what happened in the Proverbs. My son, now listen to me, my son. Listen to good, sound wisdom and instruction. Don't listen to those other things. You know, in your mind, when you get depression or anxiety or anything like that, you have to really follow the Word of God. You have to, because your mind will go in 1,000 different places at once. Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. I've been through it. And when these people don't have an anchor of the Lord, they're in a lot of trouble. Operation Fishbowl tried. I will stay tuned. This broadcast is not about the flat earth. This broadcast is about transgender transformation. If you can't keep up with that and understand that, I'm sorry. I am extremely sorry for your deluded mind. And I pray that you will be able to be helped through it. I really do. Because I seriously think the flat earth apostles are kind of going nuts. Anyway. Okay, let's get back to the broadcast here. The procedure did, look at this, shortly after turning 18, Nathaniel underwent one of the most extreme surgeries offered to transgender people. The procedure, a total removal of his genitalia and a refashioning of the area, is sometimes called the bottom surgery. Now see, this makes me sick. Because This young man, let a doctor chop off his manhood and his body parts and mutate him and turn him into some kind of Baphomet Frankenstein. The procedure did nothing to help Nathaniel. Nothing. He said, now that I'm healed from these surgeries, I regret them. The result of the bottom surgery looks like a Frankenstein hack job at best, and that got me thinking critically about myself. So what did it do? He went into a deeper depression. Why? Because it wasn't real. It wasn't real. That's the problem. What he did to himself, it wasn't real. It didn't help him. All it did was hurt him. All it did was feed into his delusion and make it worse, because you can never make him something that God never made him to be. He said, I turned myself into a plastic surgery facsimile of a woman, but I knew I still wasn't one. I became, into the extent, still feel deeply depressed. See, no one helped this young man and taught him what it meant to be a man. Now he can't be a man. Do you understand how worse it is? that, listen to me, it's so bad because God made him a man. He tried to turn himself into a woman, had everything chopped off, and now he can't even be a man. That's how horrible this stuff is. And then you've got Christians that are supporting this nonsense, that are saying things about this, that are saying, oh, well, you got to feed. No, you don't feed into that. You don't feed into that. But here's a young man now. His life pretty much ruined. He said, a male, no matter what he thinks he is on the inside, will always be a male. There is no surgery, hormone procedure, or therapy that can reverse this basic biological fact. Doctors and medical professionals that seemingly ignore this, urging their patients to take more drastic and extreme steps to confirm their gender identity, are bordering on malpractice when it comes to guiding young people into this irreversible surgery. While there was no voice to help Nathaniel and others like him to see the truth about the procedure, a growing wave of ex-transgenders wising up to the truth may soon change the paradigm for good. Now, a new study in the genes of those who identify as transgenders has picked up a decent amount of media attention. See, they tried to say, look, they found the genetic discovery of how they are. But it's not true. They said in looking at everything, they found out that there's nothing in there. Like, they don't have any proof. They have no proof. They have no proof of any of it. And why is that? Because there is no proof. You're not a woman trapped in a man's body or a man trapped in a woman's body. You're not. What you are is somebody that is deeply confused. That's what you are. You're somebody that's deeply confused. Now, there's an attack on the mind that takes place in traumatic experiences. And even the occult talks about it. Manly P. Hall talked about it, and other people talked about that Baphomet spirit, that God Baphomet, right? Talked about it. You know, I just told the guy the post is true. There's no defense for Ruckman on abortion. There's absolutely none. It's just ridiculous. Anyway, it is amazing how people will try to defend that nonsense. Instead of just saying the truth that your stinking hero wasn't right, they won't do it. You know, anyway, so there's a spirit that goes with this. And sadly, this spirit is pervading the churches today. We are seeing wholesale. We are seeing the absolute swerve of traditional stance from the scripture, from the scriptures, to these positions of gray areas. Right? We're seeing it. How were they able to do it? How are they able to come into churches, and how are so many people being deceived? Well, I would tell you that if you don't know the true Christ, you'll definitely be fooled by the false one. Now, any man can be deceived by someone, by something. We're not infallible. But here's the thing. If you know the true Christ and you know who he is in the Bible, then you know when a false one is teaching, a false Christianity is preached. Then you also know that there's a spirit behind it that's different. There is a spirit of the world. Right? The Bible talks about that. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Satan is the god of this world, whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Christ is the image of God. Now, what's happening, though, is a religious transformation. A religious transformation. Right before our eyes. Look, there is going to be a wholesale. There is going to be a wholesale acceptance of homosexuality, of transgenderism, of all of those perversions. And quite frankly, there really has to be in that sense before the falling away takes place. It is the falling away that takes place before the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. You look at this. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. So everything that God said, everything that God said, right, they are going to question or pervert. It's what's going to happen. They're going to question it. They're going to pervert it. Right? That's what they're going to do. And you and I have to take everything that we believe, everything that we hold to, everything that we stand for, we must take it from the Word of God. There must be, thus saith the Lord. There must be a thus saith the Lord with it. Because hang on a second. Here's the thing. There has to be a religious spirit that comes with this in order to fool so many people. They're not going to, the falling away is not going to take place without the flare of religion mixed with it. There has to be these
that creep in crept in unawares. There has to be those spirits. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. See, here's what happens. This falling away has to take place. The deception, the perilous times, the deceiving, seducing spirits. Look, if you have a church that really believes that they need to change with the times, then they don't believe in the everlasting word of God. They're a bunch of liars. Because if you and I have to change with the times, change what we believe and what we teach with the times to make it socially acceptable for others, then we don't believe the gospel truly. We don't believe what God's word says truly. If we believe that we have to change, right? If our churches believe that they have to somehow change to make a way for homosexuals and sodomites, then what you're saying is, and transgenders, what you're saying is that there's a transformation that's taking place. That historically, and biblically, number one, and then historically, those that have always preached against sin should stop preaching against sin and then open the gates of the church up and allow everyone to come in and don't judge anything or anyone. Well, that's absolutely preposterous is what it is, because what it's saying is that I can't follow the Bible any longer, that our churches shouldn't follow the Bible. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me tell you something. Listen to me very carefully. If someone tells you, okay, it's time to ask questions now. Maybe what we can do here is have our listeners over here that are on the chat answer this question. If the Bible says that in the beginning God made them male and female, if the Bible says that, which it does, and that's our authority is the scriptures, if that's the case, then let me ask you this question. Is anything that is taught contrary to the fact that God made them male and female, is that rebellion against God? I'll give you a second to answer that. We'll give you a few minutes to answer that. A few seconds, maybe, that is. Right. Now, all of you said yes to that, and that would be a good yes, okay? That would be an absolute good yes, because that is true. Anything that is preached that is contrary to what God already set down is rebellion. Now, is that a Christian doctrine then? No, the Bible says that it is not. So they can say that they're a Christian all they want to. But when they preach something that is contrary to the Bible, then they aren't Christians when it comes to that. When it is plainly, we're not talking about a difference here and there. We're talking about fundamental Bible truths that they are absolutely saying are not, they're subjective. But God said rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected thee from being king. See, it's rebellion. but they're doing it under the guise. Didn't Saul do the same thing? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord had sent me, and I have brought Agag, the king of the Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice in the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than that of the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. So what do we have here? We have the rebellion. Saul claimed to be gods. He claimed to be obeying God, but he wasn't obeying God. Right? He claimed to be. Now, but he wasn't. He was rejected of the Lord. Now, what does the Bible say about homosexuality and the effeminate? It says very clearly that those are sins. Says very plainly that those are sins, doesn't it? That the sodomite in the land, what happened to them? There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite. Right? And the remnant of the sodomites remained in the days of his father. He took out of the land, and he break down the houses of the sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings in the grove. And there were also sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out the children of Israel. See, those abominable things which the Lord hates. It's rebellion. They're preaching a different gospel to you. They're preaching a gospel of lasciviousness, right? Right? See, I think it's just where we're at. Turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness, right? Let's see. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Pretty simple, isn't it? That's exactly what they're doing. That's right, Joe. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness before, past tense, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Okay, here's another one. Pete Buttigieg says that he has a husband. But what does God say marriage is? God says that a man shall leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Isn't that interesting? One flesh, seven times. Male and female, seven times. What does God say one flesh is? Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Matthew 19:5, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What, know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Male, female. So if a man comes up and tells you he's a Christian and that he's really married and he's married to a man and he's in a fornicating homosexual relationship with the man, then what is that? That's rebellion. Is that Christianity? No, because what did God say it was? He said in the beginning it was male and female. He said the only way two can be one is male and female. That's what he said. That's what he said. That's what he said. God's very plain about that. God's very clear about that. Right? So, think about that. Think about the fact that all these people can say whatever they want to. They can say that they're saved by the grace of God. They can say all these other things. They believe on Jesus. They believe on that. And then they have an ultralight beam, right? Like Kanye. And they have a gospel of lasciviousness. They have a gospel that the world loves, that nobody hates. A Jesus that nobody is mad at. Right? Right? And he becomes popular. Eric, I know I've covered the Homosexual Manifesto. You can go back and look at my teachings on it. I did some a while back. All right? So anyway, so what you have here, this is what's going on. This is what we have in our world today. This is the transformation that is taking place before our eyes. The compromise of every fundamental doctrine of the scriptures and a perversion of the doctrine of Christ and a perversion of sanctification, separation, godly fear, and all of those things. So it is a gospel that doesn't change anyone. It keeps them dead in trespasses and sins. It never changes their life. And you can just put it on and say you have it when you really deny the power thereof. Right? Teaching us, what does it say, having a form of godliness. What does it say is going to happen to these men? This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Dangerous times. Why are they so dangerous? They're dangerous because of the deception and the people that are out there that are promoting it. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Right? That's what it is. And we are commanded from such, turn away. All right. Anybody have anything they want to ask? Any questions? Anything like that here? I'm about done here today with this. Oh, by the way, I guess I could close with this. This former transgender. Oh, wait. No, that's the wrong one. Let me see here. Hang on one second here. Oops. Wrong one. This one. Detransitioning. How do I go back to who I was? A Newsnight report was highlighted the growing phenomenon of detransitioners, those who underwent the process of changing their sex but later regretted it and now wish to return to their birth sex. Deborah Cohen spoke to Debbie, who underwent sex reassignment surgery and lived as Lee for 17 years. She also spoke to Charlie Evans, who began transitioning and lived as a boy for several years before desisting. Evans has now formed an advocacy network for others with similar experiences. A lot of these women feel that they were not in a state to be able to give consent. Debbie had a traumatic childhood but did not decide to change sex until she was 44 after watching an episode of Kilroy where women were living as if male were interviewed. She underwent full surgery, changed her name, and spent 17 years on testosterone, which caused her to grow facial body hair and develop more muscle and her voice to lower. She said she thought, "I would become a different person. I'd become accepted in the world." Now 61, she is filled with regret. I remember breaking down. It was like, this was a mistake. It should never have happened. But part of her trauma was considering what to do now and how she could ever go back to being the Debbie that I was. I remember breaking down. It was like, this was a mistake. It should never have happened. But part of her trauma was considering what to do now and how she could ever go back to being the Debbie that it was. You know how you do? How do you go through that yet another harrowing transition? What do you do? I've got no hair. I've got a beard. I've had all my body mutilated. She added, "I think I'd have to wave a magic wand, but I hope my hair will grow back in time with the estrogen. The body hair would reduce and could get rid of this beard." Charlie began identifying as a transgender when she was 15, opting to shave her head and wear a breast binder. Unlike Debbie, Charlie never took testosterone to masculinize herself and detransitioned after several years. After going public, she was contacted by around 300 people with similar stories and has formed the Detransition Advocacy Network to provide support. She says to those who have detransitioned, a lot of us are autistic and tend to be under the age of about 25. Charlie also told Cohen, a lot of these young women feel that they were not in a state that they were able to give consent because they felt so unwell with eating disorders or depression. This was going to be the things that made them feel better. They often feel that they didn't follow up intensive therapies as much as they could have to make sure it was really informed consent and the right path for them. All right. There you have it. 300 people contacted her as soon as she went public with her story. Why? Because she ruined her life with it. And she wanted to detransition back. It's so sad. It's so very sad. All right, everybody. Well, good broadcast today. We had close to 193 people on, so praise the Lord for that, over 90 people. And I hope it was a blessing to you. It gave you some ideas of what's going on today and the scriptural reasons why these things are taking place. And we need to stand firm in the faith. We need to be strong. We need to trust the Lord through all these things. We need to cling to the Bible. We need to cling to the truth of the Word of God. We need to hold fast that which is true. We need to trust Christ with all of our hearts. And we need to stand for the faith once delivered unto the saints, to earnestly contend for it. We must do that. God expects that from us. And I've seen a lot of the transgenders out there. I've seen them taking different pills and you know, taking their stuff and binding themselves up and trying to hide who they really are and all those things. What a sad and poor, miserable life that is to live. I must pray for those people that they would be saved, that they would have peace in their hearts, to know that they are that God made them that way. And that God made them male and female, and they don't have to change that. They just need Jesus to make them, give them the blessed hope, to give them peace in their hearts and joy. They need to be born again by the Spirit of God, have their sins forgiven them, and God will give peace. Amen? That's right. When the Son of Man shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. All right. Anyway. Amen. God bless you, Anthony. Hope you're doing well. Cindy Nelson. Hope you and Troy are doing well. Eric Oman. Hope you're doing well. Nehemiah Joseph. Amen. All right. Good crowd on here today. Hope you're all doing well. Yes, it's sad. It really is. All right, anyway. So we'll talk to you all soon. Lord bless you too and keep you safe. God bless you all. And we'll be back again. We'll be back again Wednesday. Amen? Wednesday. So Lord willing. And I'm not sure what we'll talk about yet, but we'll see. Everybody have a good night.